There are just a couple of answers I must make. As you see, at this point, one or two people have to leave, and I gather that there will be, because of playing timetables, a drift of people before the session ends. That's not a comment on the speakers. Secondly, I gather also that because of the train, because of the abortion rally in Washington, there may be problems for people going from Philadelphia by train to Washington at this point. So if people would like to offer others a lift, and if people are seeking a lift to Washington, perhaps at the end of the session they could gather at the back of the hall. Now, our next speaker, Manuel Ayau, who will speak on Latin America, the situation there, hails from Guatemala, which it may be said, so far from God, so near to Nicaragua. Professor Ayau has done something quite remarkable in life. He started a first-class university. He did so because the existing state universities in Guatemala were running ideologically biased left curricula, particularly in economics, and they refused even to admit the existence of conservative thought. I wonder if he's ever thought of moving to Boston. The university he founded now has students from 14 countries, including 3,000 Guatemalans, in 15 degree programs. It has a medical school which operates 13 rural clinics serving the Indian population, and it also organizes a number of satellite teacher training colleges. Dr. Ayau is now also the chairman of a foundation, advisory committee in the US, which aims to encourage other Latin American countries to imitate the successful experiment which he has conducted. Now, there are many other things that might be said about Dr. Ayau, including, for example, his chairmanship of the Mont Pelerin Society, which is, in a sense, an international extension of this body. But it's his unique experience in Latin America which makes him the ideal speaker to our question of the situation in Latin America. Dr. Ayau.
Told by Don Lipsuk that we must speak on the average 10 minutes, so I have a minute. but I think this is a very fortunate happening because it has certainly been very, very interesting to listen to the previous speaker. As in Latin America, there's really nothing new or exciting that has transpired in the last few years. And so I am sure that we have been spared many of the things that I have here, which most of you already know. It's very significant that in the talk by Martin Anderson yesterday, or the day before, when he was given a sweeping overview of the world that they were going to capitalism, he skipped Latin America. And also, in Mr. Mises' talk and Mr. Meltzer, they mentioned Latin America, Central America, as one of the failures of the one place where Reagan didn't succeed. So, in spite of the great potential of this continent and the good people that do inhabit it, it is really a very sad situation. We are on the verge of disaster constantly. Poverty and violence is prevalent all over. A flight of capital, flight of talent, and there's a general disintegration, the standards of living going back to levels 10 years ago. And although all the countries have their differences, the main causes of this disease are common to all of them. We still believe that the problem is finding the right people, that this, any system works provided you get the right people there. And so we're still trying to make socialism and interventionism work. Now, I think that in view of the lack of time, perhaps instead of giving you lots of statistics and things that you already know, perhaps I have to offer to you the general theory of the coup. Which is because we expect more down there. As this disintegration and democracy being what it is in Latin America. It's not, I don't think it's going to last very long. I think I can spend a minute on this explaining the general theory of the coup. I was giving a lecture at the military school, and my students, their officers, they were going to sleep on me, so I asked them if they'd like to hear this, and they did, so I said, how does a coup start? Well, act one, two of you meet at the bar of the officers' club, and you start talking about the general disorder and the situation and the type of living and the violence and the poverty, and then, well, you know, one of these days maybe we're going to have to do something about this. And then next scene is next Saturday, having a drink at the bar at the officers' club, and the conversation goes something like this. Have you talked to any of the boys? And the answer is yes, we're ready to go. Then I told him, now you've got a problem, two problems, because according to your diagnosis, what is wrong here is that the people on top are corrupt and inept. So according to that diagnosis, you must find somebody that is capable and honest. Now you've got a problem, because how are you going to find a capable and honest man in your organization? Well, I said, relax, it's not hard. Generals are competent by definition. Because otherwise, all your system of what do you call it, hierarchy and grading, it has to be discarded. So, general by definition, competent. And then, how do you find an honest general? Well, you know how much general makes. So, if he lives beyond those means, you know he's not honest. And therefore, your solution is to find a poor general, and then you got your leader. Well, you go ahead and carry out the coup, and the next scene is 2 years later at the bar at the officers' club, and now the conversation goes something like this. Say, how did this guy ever get to be a general? And he's betrayed us. Look at all the money he's got in Miami. But is there a solution to Latin America? Well, we have many obstacles, as you know. We have the church with the liberation theology and all that. The government universities, which were overtaken by the socialist movement many years ago, and now they have budgets prescribed in the Constitution. In the Constitution of Guatemala, the government university with 60,000 students has 5%, I think 5% of the budget. Of the income of the government must be transferred to the national university. So we have a factory of communists there, supported by the taxpayers. Then we have the central banks that are destroying the currency and provoking, as a consequence, violence and all the other consequences that you're aware that rampant inflation brings about. We have the State Department bribing our politicians to stay on the left, distribute land, to redistribute wealth, and they come out with all the dollars that the politicians love. We have the worst part, I think, is the government overpowering control of education at all levels, from grammar school to what I just mentioned, the universities. So we have to, that's our challenge, and we have to try to bring about an understanding of the problems at the highest levels. You know what's really going on in Latin America, it's always on the TV, so I think I'll just end with thanking you for giving me the opportunity to address you.